So that's what we're going to do. Before we do that this morning, we're going to talk about a subject that is very familiar with probably most of you. In fact, we have a Vacation Bible School song that we sing about this particular parable that Jesus tells. And it's the parable that has to do with where we build our house, the wise man and the foolish man. One builds his house on the rock, the other builds his house on the sand. And so as we're looking at the parables that Jesus spoke and taught his disciples with, let's take a look at this particular parable because, you know, it's more than just a really cool VBS song, okay? There's a really important, and I'm just going to use the word foundational message in this parable because it really has to do with the foundation, okay? So let's take a look at this particular parable that Jesus tells. Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. Verse 28 and 29 concludes this particular section that Matthew writes for us on the things that Jesus has been teaching about the Sermon on the Mount. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. You see, here's a basic fundamental thing that Jesus is really wanting his audience back then and for you and I today to understand. He's talking about the importance of a good foundation for our faith. You see, if you notice in this parable, we have two groups of people that Jesus is talking about, and there's a lot of similarities between these two groups, aren't there? Both groups hear the same message, okay? The difference between them is that one has built on a different foundation than the other. The same rain comes, the same storms blow, the same wind blows against both, but one stands and the other falls. It really has to do with the foundation that the house is built on. And so what Jesus is doing when he gives this parable to this crowd of people, and you have to understand that this teaching is likely part of this broad spectrum of things that Jesus has been teaching to this great crowd of people that is gathered on this occasion. He's taught a whole lot of different things. And now he's kind of concluding this sermon, if you will, with trying to focus their attention on the importance of all the other things that he's been saying. None of it will be worth anything if your foundation of your faith is not strong, if it's not solid. See? And so Jesus is establishing himself as that solid foundation on which we are to build and establish our faith. If you contrast what Jesus is saying here about himself as being this foundation to the teachers of the law that the people were used to, that's what verse 20, 28 and 29 is all about. That after establishing all of these things with the people, their response to Jesus is that they were amazed and astonished at all the things that he'd been teaching because not like their teachers of the law, Jesus taught with authority. They recognized something special about what Jesus was saying and about how he was saying it and how Jesus was involving himself in the very things that he was teaching them. So he takes upon himself the responsibility of being the foundation
of our faith. See?
So Jesus, then we need to look upon Him as being the solid rock on which everything that we build our faith on has to stand. See? Now, understand that when we say that, and what Jesus is doing here is, He's not just talking about Jesus Himself and saying, hey, just look at me. He's focusing primarily on His teachings. So it's not just about Jesus the man, it's about Jesus the Word, you see, that has come into the world. And He's establishing Himself not only as the Word, but His Word in Him as the solid foundation for which everything else has got to stand. Notice the comparison here is that both groups of people that Jesus is talking about are hearing His Word. Okay? The difference is that one is doing and the other is not. But Jesus is that rock. He establishes Himself as the foundation. The Apostle Paul would echo what Jesus is saying here about Him being the foundation. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 4, Paul says, "For I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers, that our forefathers were all under the cloud and that they all passed through the sea." Well, he's talking about the Israelites as they came out of Egyptian bondage here. And he goes on to say, "They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ." You see, Paul here takes them all the way back to when they left bondage in Egypt and says that same foundation that Jesus is talking about right here, Himself, He's the one who brought them across the Red Sea into the Promised Land. He's the spiritual rock. He is the foundation on which you and I today need to make sure that our faith is grounded on and established on. And the reason that's so important, we look at a parable like this and go, "Well, that's so simple." Well, if it's so simple, then why are so many people missing it today? You see? Because there's too many people who have built their faith on other foundations. In other words, it's based on what my family's always believed. It's based on what I've always understood. It's based on what I've always practiced. It's based on what my friends are telling me. It's based on all kinds of other things besides Jesus in His Word. Jesus says, everyone who hears and does. And we've got to make sure that we put both of those together. It's not just hearing, but it's hearing and doing. And He likens that person to a wise man. A wise man who, He says, builds his house on a solid foundation of rock. You see, Jesus is really saying here, in a sense, look, wisdom does not just come from knowing things. Wisdom comes from the doing. And you know, if you think about it, isn't that something that we all really acknowledge? I mean, when we think about people who are wise, who do we generally think about? It's folks who are older, more experienced, isn't it? See, it's those who have done that and been there and bought several T-shirts along the way. You see, it's that experience that they have because they didn't just learn a lot of information, but they've done a lot of things. And we look at people like that and say, yeah, they've got some wisdom. See, and so wisdom comes not just in knowing things, but it comes in the doing. And in fact, not just wisdom comes that way, but Jesus also says blessings come that way. If you go over to John chapter 13, where Jesus has washed the feet of His disciples, In verse 17, after he's finished washing their feet, he says to his disciples, "Do you understand what I have done for you?" He said, "You call me Lord and Master, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now, if I, your Lord and Master, can wash your feet, so you should wash one another's feet." And then he says this, "Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." You see, again, there's an important thing that we've got to understand, Jesus pointing out. Blessings and wisdom don't come from what we know. They come from what we do. You see? Think about the things that you have experienced in your life. Where did you learn the most? Was it from reading a book and you learned a certain amount of things? Or was it from after you've read the book or taken the class that you actually went out and did? You see? You applied what you learned. Way, way, way back, many, many years ago, when I first got into police work, there was a fellow who was a professor down in a college down in Florida. And this particular professor was teaching courses in criminology. And most of the people that were taking his classes were police officers. And this professor was in the courses that he was teaching, was oftentimes telling his students, "Well, when you're out on the street, this is how you need to do things. This is how you need to handle things." And many of the police officers over the courses were going, "This guy doesn't know squat. You can't do that out on the street. That's not the way it is." And so they began to challenge him and say, professor, and I can't remember the guy's name, he said, "Have you ever been out on the street?" No. He had never worked as a police officer. He had no experience whatsoever of what it was actually like to be a policeman. But yet he was teaching police officers what they should do when they're out on the street. And the officers challenged him and said, "Tell you what, you go out and work out on the street for a little while, and then you're qualified to tell us how we should be doing things when we're out on the street." And guess what he did? He took them up on their challenge. And he actually went out on the street and worked as a police officer for quite some time. And then when he got finished with that experience, he came back and he wrote a book about it that is now being used in police criminology courses, you see? But what's the difference? He didn't just learn a bunch of information. He went out and he got some experience, and when he got that experience, he came back and said, "You know, a lot of that stuff I was teaching before, forget it." See? It's the experience, it's the application of what we know. You see? That gives us the blessing and the wisdom. It's not enough just to know something. We've got to do something with what we know, and that's what Jesus is talking about. That's where the wisdom and that's where the blessings come to us in our lives. The person who takes the words that Jesus shares with them and does what they say, Jesus says his house of faith is going to stand firm through all of the storms of life that are going to be thrown at him. Because that house of faith is built on a solid foundation of Jesus. And then he talks about the other person, the foolish man, he calls him. You see? Again, this is the person who hears the very same words that Jesus has been teaching, but he doesn't act upon those words. He doesn't do what those words tell him to do. And when the turmoil comes and attacks his faith, this particular person falters. Because his faith is not built on a solid foundation, but it's built on that sand. You see, it won't stand up under the scrutiny of the pressures of everyday life. And that's tantamount to someone hearing what Jesus has to say and then going and doing their own thing instead. See? You're leaving out the foundation. without Jesus as the foundation of our faith, we'll be destroyed by the pressures of everyday life. I don't know about you, but I know for me, when I find myself facing especially those Red Sea events in life that we've talked about many, many times, it's my faith in Jesus and it's my obedience to His Word that does more than anything to help me to find my way through. That's what Jesus is talking about here, you see. Because the storms are inevitable. The rain is going to come. The winds are going to blow. They're going to beat against us in life. You cannot avoid that. What we build on is what makes the difference. Hearing is not enough. Action is required. The test of discipleship, Jesus says, is whether we hold to His teachings. John chapter 8 and verses 31 and 32, Jesus says, if you hold to My teachings, you are truly My disciples. Then you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. Understand, when Jesus uses that term, hold to, He's not just simply talking about intellectual acknowledgement. He's talking about action. It's the matter of taking what He has said and using it in our everyday lives. And so if we hold to, that is, do what Jesus tells us to do in His teachings, then we show ourselves to be His disciple, and then we also find ourselves standing on a solid foundation of rock. Now, here's the next part. How many of you are familiar with the story, the fairy tale of Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs? Okay? There's a certain part of that whole story. It has to do with the wicked, you know, stepmother, you know, and all that. And she has this mirror, right? Everybody remember that? She's got the mirror, and that's right. And she looks at the mirror and says, "Mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all?" And she's content as she can be, isn't she? As long as the mirror is responding to her, "Well, you are my wonderful queen." But then one day the mirror doesn't respond that way, does it? Somebody else is, and then that's the story. We don't need to go into all that part. Let's just focus on the mirror, mirror on the wall. I want you to turn with me in your Bible over to the book of James chapter 1, because in a sense, that's kind of what you and I need to do. We need to look at the mirror on the wall. And that's really what James is talking about here. James chapter 1, beginning in verse 22, he says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves, do what it says." Does that sound vaguely familiar? It should, because that's what Jesus was talking about in the parable, right? Don't just hear the word, but do what it says. And then look at what he says here, verse 23. "Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like." There's that mirror hanging on the wall. And the idea that James wants us to understand is it's not just that we go up there and we kind of primp our hair a little bit, but it's to go up to the mirror, and when we do that, we're looking, aren't we? Why do you do that in the morning, right? I mean, you do that to make sure that you got the hair in the right place, whatever hair you have left, guys, right? You know, Keith doesn't spend a whole lot of time doing that part. But, you know, it's the, you know, all the nose hair and the guy makes sure I don't have any, you know, shaving cream left up here. And you ladies stand there forever, right? And you're primping and you're doing all this stuff. And why do we do that? Because we want to make sure that when we walk away from the mirror and we go out in public, you see, that what people see is the real who we want them to see, right? We don't want to walk out, we got some mustard right here in the corner of our mouth, you know, whatever, and people are going, you know? The purpose of the mirror is for us to look at ourselves
and to see, is everything where it needs to be? Are there any flaws there that maybe I need to cover up or fix or whatever? Spiritually, that's what the mirror on the wall is for. That's what James is talking about. That we are to look at ourselves in the mirror. And it's a mirror, mirror on the wall. Say, show me my flaws, one and all. Okay, you with me? And James here says, when we do that, if we look at ourselves and we see the flaws, we see the things that need to be changed about us, and we walk away from the mirror and we don't do anything about it, we forget what we've seen, then that's the same thing as hearing the Word and not doing what it says. Verse 25. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. You see, it's a matter of looking into the mirror, mirror on the wall and seeing what do I need to change about me so that when I look in that mirror, I don't see me anymore. I see Jesus. And what are the things that I see in myself that's keeping me from seeing Jesus and reflecting Him in my life? And then being determined to do something about those things. You see, when I'm looking into that mirror, what I need to be looking at and what I'm really looking at is not just me, but I'm looking at the Word that Jesus has given me. I'm comparing my life, myself, to His Word, to His teachings, to see what do I need to fix? What do I need to overcome? What do I need to get rid of out of my life? So that I can look more like Jesus and less like me. That's what Jesus wants us to understand. When He tells a simple parable about where we build our faith on, a solid foundation of not just hearing His Word, but of doing what it says. It's really a call and a challenge for us to look at the mirror on the wall and to see what it's showing us so that we can make whatever corrective action we need to make so that our life reflects the life of Jesus. So, when you look at the mirror, what do you see? We're going to sing in just a moment a song that we'll use as an invitation song. And what I would like for you to do while we're singing this song is I want you to be thinking about and maybe even picture yourself and visualize yourself standing in front of that mirror, mirror on the wall, and ask the Lord through His Word to show you the flaws, one and all, that are there. And in those flaws that you might see, is there help that you need to get rid of them? Is there forgiveness that you need to seek? Is there some teaching that you need to help you to understand more fully Jesus' Word? Is there guidance, direction, encouragement, whatever it is to help you so that you can reflect Jesus more and more in your life? That's what we want to do. And if there's someone here this morning who's not yet a Christian, you've not given your life to Christ yet, you have the opportunity to do that right now this morning. So that your life too can reflect Jesus because you've obeyed His Word. If you desire to be baptized into Christ, you can do that right now this morning. Confess Jesus as your Lord. Repent of the sin that is separating you from God. And have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. You can do that right now. I'll be up here in the front to receive anyone that would like to come up, and Ted will be in the back to receive anyone that would like to maybe have a private conversation or prayer with him back there. Let's stand together and sing.